Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another amazing guest tonight. We've got Kirk Nugent. For more than a decade, Kirk Nugent has served as a catalyst for change, challenging preconceived notions about success and self-actualization. Kirk started public speaking in poetry venues where he displayed a keen understanding of social and political issues, delivered with his signature brand of infectious wit and frenetic energy. His perspective is a relentless endorsement of the idea that no matter where you are in the world, the innate right to chase your dreams unites all individuals. He's spoken at venues across the United States, Canada, Europe, and the Caribbean. Kirk continues to impact the lives of people around the world with public speaking engagements and live appearances, as well as with his books, The Unpopular Truth, I Need You to Remember, and also his two-disc audio set, Pursue Your Passion. So, with that said, welcome to the show, Kirk.
James, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I saw one of your videos, and I was, you know, it spoke to the heart of the matter on just about everything that people here at ESETI feel the same way. I was curious, what initially inspired you to become a speaker and a way shower and to bring this information out?
Well, it wasn't my intention to be a way show. I didn't know that I was a way shower, so to speak. I just came from a place where I had a lot of pain, came from a childhood where a lot of abuse, very broken. I came from Jamaica, came to America at age 15, didn't know I was black. Not that I thought I was white, just didn't know I was black. The kid that sat next to me in Jamaica in high school had blonde hair and blue eyes, didn't know he was white. So I came into a totally different world when I came to America at age 15, dealing with racism. So I didn't feel like I fit in society, and I certainly didn't feel like I fit in my own family. So as I started searching and going deeper, I realized that the stuff that had been told to me regarding religion and dying and going to being burnt and God is punishing you, I realized it was all just another weapon to control the mind. And as I kept searching, I realized that all this stuff that's placed here, James, it's just placed to divide us so we cannot get together and get to see how beautiful and how powerful we are. And as long as we keep focusing on the nonsense, oh, James is white, I'm black, this one is gay, that's straight, I'm Jewish, I'm Palestinian, as long as we keep focusing on the nonsense, we will always be enslaved and we'll never realize that there's so much more to life. So I stumbled onto this by just searching to find a way out of the prison that I was in mentally. And I came into this information and it just started changing my life. And I made a commitment that I want to live my life in integrity. If I say something, that's what's going to happen. That's how I'm going to manifest it. And just by doing that, just by showing up naked and unashamed, nothing to hide, I've made mistakes, we all have, and people begin to see it and say, you know what, I like what I'm seeing, and it begins to resonate, and people are drawn to that type of honesty, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like there's so many, as you're saying, divisions going on. I've never seen anything like it, and especially the division we're seeing right now where there's just this elite rich, and everybody's kind of fallen into the poor basket. Do you have any answers for that, or
I believe, James, I really believe that we're at the end of this. The reason why we're seeing such a contrast right now is because the divide is so wide that people are beginning to wake up. They're beginning to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. People are beginning to realize that, wait a minute, I know I didn't spend 9 months in the womb just to come here to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week to pay some bills. It's got to be something more. So as we start questioning the reality and we're realizing this doesn't make sense that GE made over $5 billion in profit but paid no taxes because they filed a 24,000 paperwork tax return. This doesn't make any sense. I'm paying for these bombs that you're using to kill people. I'm paying for all this stuff, but all these elite, they're not. People are beginning to wake up, and I believe not just on the physical level, James, but I believe there's a consciousness that I can't explain that's coming into the planet and is stirring something within us. It's making us question our relationship. It's making us question the way we walk through this world. It's making us question what is of value. These trinkets that we collect, and when we get to our deathbed, we realize that they have no value, but the relationships have value. So I believe, yes, the divide is great, but we're in a time now where I believe we can see this change very, very quickly, because the consciousness is changing. And as you know, you've been saying for years, it is our consciousness that helps to mold and create the reality that we're in. And people are beginning to wake up to it, because you can't break out of a prison until you realize that you're a prisoner. And for years, Americans especially live this ignorant life that they're free and everything is okie-dokie and it's all peachy. Now they're beginning to realize, no, not true. We've been lied to all our lives. Let's wake up. Let's break out of this prison.
I agree 100%. Now, when you talk about consciousness and this shift, I know there's a lot of people that get a little upset at me sometimes because, you know, I tell people that it's not about everybody holding hands and singing Kumbaya and ascending together. It's all about speaking up and standing up and addressing the issues. But, you know, with loving detachment, don't get flipped out about it or become part of the you know, part of the prison system or whatever. But, you know, it does seem it's that time for people to stand up and speak their truth and you know, do it from the rooftops.
I agree with you, Jim. That is what is going to make the change. It's not about, okay, I'm going to sit here and just hope for the best. That's not what's going to make the change. It's people beginning to wake up and stand up and be willing to speak their truth. That's why you're finding all these whistleblowers now. They're speaking the truth and saying, I don't care what comes down the path. I don't care what kind of harassment I'm getting from the government. You're dealing with harassment where you are right there on your ranch yourself. So, but you're okay. Still speaking your truth. You're not buckling like a belt. You're deciding, this is what I came to do, and whatever path this leads, I'm going to walk with this truth. And more people are beginning to wake up to that idea. So I agree. It's not a passive sitting back and, you know, well, now that I'm awake, I hope everything will work out. No, it's not like that. It's about standing in your truth and be willing to walk that truth regardless where that path takes you, because you're not just this body. Your higher self is guiding the life that you're here. You volunteer to be here at this time, and your higher self is directing you. So if you can trust that, you will be led to your greatest good and the greatest good for the planet.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you mentioned the GE. You know, they're the ones that built the reactors over there at Fukushima, and I think they've got 81 other reactors over here, and some of these reactors are sitting right on fault lines. That some are on the same fault line as Japan, that, you know, the exact same fault line. So, you know, I begin to wonder, who are these people? They sold us down the river. They sold us the bill of goods. We've had fuelless energy technology since Tesla, and they're putting these ticking time bombs, you know, right in our laps, in our backyards, and now we're seeing the consequences of that, and maybe that is what is necessary, events like this, unfortunately, to get people to wake up. You know, they're just huge alarm bells going off, you know, saying, hey, look at who's in power, look who's making the decisions, and look at what the consequences are of those in power making those decisions.
I heard this story once, James, and I believe it's a good analogy for what we're dealing or what we've dealt with in the past. And there was this farmer who was on the porch, and his dog was on the porch just sitting there whimpering. So another farmer walked by and said, what's wrong with your dog? He said, oh, he's, you know, he's sitting on a nail. He said, well, why doesn't he get up? And he said, well, it hurts bad enough for him to complain, but not enough for him to do anything about it. And I believe that's the system we were in for a long time. We stood there, we complained, because a lot of us knew that we were being screwed. We were aware of it. But the average person is, look, as long as I can pay my bill, as long as I can take care of my margin, it's not my problem. And as long as they weren't personally affected, they weren't really concerned about it. Now we're in an era where everyone's feeling the squeeze. They're feeling the clinch, and people are beginning to do more than complain. They're beginning to wake up, because a lot of the problems on the planet, James, we still have to, even though we're not the one who built these nuclear plants, these power plants, and we're not the one who spilled the oil, we still allow it to happen with our vote or with our lack of vote, because we weren't willing to speak up. We weren't willing to get out of our comfort zone. We weren't willing to disturb our lives on a larger scale, because we don't want to create any ruffles. We don't want to rock the boat. Now the ocean is so turbulent, and the boat is beginning, the water is beginning to come in the boat. We got to rock the boat. So all of this stuff is necessary to a certain degree to create enough pain, because where there's enough pain, we'll start looking, well, what can I do to ease this pain? What can I do to make this stop? But before, I don't believe the pain was sufficient enough, or maybe I should say it wasn't close enough to home, because we would look on the television, we would see stuff happening in Rwanda or in Iraq, but it wasn't really in our backyard. Now we're going to the grocery stores and not being able to afford what we used to be able to afford. We're going to the gas station, instead of filling up, we're getting $10. So now we're beginning to feel that pinch, and we're beginning to empathize with what's going on in the world and begin to realize that we're all in the same boat.
I agree. It has to become personal before somebody does something about it. And we've been screaming about this, and I'm sure you have too, for years, you know, me about probably 25, 30 years. And, you know, saying, hey, this is what's around the corner. This is what's coming. And people scream at you, you're crazy. You know, you're a nutcase. You're a fear and doom and gloomer and all this other stuff. And to some of us, it's so obvious, you know, the end result of the choices that we're making. Right. But to mainstream media, or mainstream media and the mainstream whatever social consciousness, they seem to be, you know, turned into, to, I hate to say it, but neutered zombies, you know, and not paying attention to any of this.
Well, I agree with you, because what I've found is most people, James, will not allow the facts to get in the way of their belief. And for the longest, they've been fed this idea that we're the savior of the world. We go out, we make things right, we spread democracy, we take care of people. And because we've been fed that idea, when the facts come up that's contrary to that belief system, we refuse to look at it. But now it's popping up all over the place. We can't help but to take a look at it. And again, going back to what you say, you've been saying this thing for 25 years. You've been seeing it. Some of the stuff is so obvious. Just human nature, again, until it hits home, we tend to, because we've been fed all this materialistic stuff, and as long as I can get my Mercedes-Benz and I can get the mansion, that's what I'm concerned about. I'm not really concerned about the fact that you're out there someplace and you're hungry. That's your problem. You lack ambition, and there's a lack of empathy that was going on for a while, but the consciousness is beginning to change. Let me tell you the thing that changed my life, James. About 10 years ago, again, I was very much involved in the duality, the contrast, and I was seeing a lot of police brutality. I was living in New Jersey. Giuliani was the mayor of New York, and every 2 weeks, another black male would be shot dead because the police, New York's police, mistook their wallet for a gun or a candy bar for a gun or a set of keys for a gun, and they were just killing black men left and right. So I got with Reverend Al Sharpton, started marching, and there was this one guy, I don't know if you remember the story, Amadou Diallo. He was shot 41 times. He was unharmed, shot 41 times by NYPD because they mistook his wallet for a gun. Long story short, I went and picked up his mom from the airport. She flew in from Africa. And James, I've heard people cry before. That woman didn't cry. She wailed. She wailed. It was a soul-wrenching cry that it changed something within me. And they moved the trial from New York City, took it to Albany. Long story short, it came back. It was a tragic accident, not a crime. No one was punished for it. And I became very angry. And a spirit within me at the time said, Kirk, you're looking at this the wrong way. You will never get people to love you who don't even love themselves. That's what racism is about. You have to find a way to get people to love themselves first, to start feeling good about themselves. And then they will turn and take a look at you and everything else on the planet. And that's when I started going around. For the past 10 years, my message has been consistent. Pursue your passion. Find what's in your heart. Trust that and go after it. And that's the message I've been giving, and that's the difference that I've been seeing. As you get people to start trusting their heart, opening that chakra, we can change the world, and that's what we're doing. You've been doing it for 25 years, plus tax.
Yeah, I agree so much. Even all the practices we do here, the ancient practices of Yigong and some of the self-mastery classes, it's all about dropping down into the heart. And the heart is the connector. It's where your soul sits, and that's connected to the source. And what we're seeing throughout society is people are in the head, and they're watching TV. They're being told what to do, who to be, how to act. You should be very scared. And their TV is their God, you know, and it's so sad that, you know, at what point do we drop back into the heart and go, you know, this just isn't right?
I again, it's just like you said, it's so obvious that people don't see it, because again, anything that you watch on television is called a program, and it's called a program for a reason, but people tend to miss that, and it programs the mind to think in a certain way, to think within this little box. And just like you said, until we get out of the head and get into the heart, we will never be able to realize our greatness. And I believe the consciousness, this new energy that's, because I feel it, James, I feel it, this energy that's coming in is making people say, wait a minute, this just doesn't feel right. And before it was all about their thinking, well, I know it doesn't feel right, but I'm afraid to lose my job. I know I don't like going to this job, but I don't want to quit because I'm afraid to lose my house. And the average American have their first heart attack on Monday morning between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m., getting ready to go to work. Americans are dying to go to work because they hate their job so much. And if you keep resisting the heart, sooner or later, the heart is going to attack you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does seem like a lot of this leadership, if you look at what they're doing, these people have amassed, you know, huge amounts of wealth and everything else, but they all seem to be having heart problems and going in and out for heart surgery and everything else because their heart is closed and there's no energy
going to it.
Absolutely. They're starting to drop like
flies. Right, everything loving is closed off to the universe. I agree.
Yeah, they seem to be dropping like flies here and there, and I think that's what's going to happen is eventually, as you're talking about with this energy coming in, this ascension energy, whatever you want to call it, cosmic energy coming in, if you can't drop back down into the heart, you're probably not going to be here in the future.
I agree totally. And I'm seeing it more and more because to me, and maybe it's just in my mind, I remember there was a time, James, when karma went out the door around the block and came back. Now, karma doesn't even leave the living room. It just goes and turns right back. Because everything is happening faster and faster, and I'm watching it. Everything is speeding up. People are beginning to awake. People who had these deep-seated religious beliefs after 30, 40 years are beginning to question their belief system now. So there's something going on. There's a stirring in the soul, and that's what I was talking about in that poem that you're saying, where we're beginning to realize that we came here for so much more. We're light workers, system busters, illusion crushers, and we're here to answer the call of duty.
Yeah, there seems to be a fail-safe mechanism that I feel that, whatever you want to call it, you know, God, creator, spirit, you know, there's so many different names for it, but there seems to be this fail-safe system, and it's in the soul. And when we get to a certain level of where the whole conscience is about ready to collapse, it kicks on and goes, wait a minute, you know, and there's this huge reversal. And no matter how much, you know, mind control is being done, no matter how much toxins you've got or whatever else, this thing just kicks on and then it's a end of story for the tyrants. You know, it's just a matter of time before they start, you know, checking themselves out and by the choices that they make.
Agreed, totally. Where do you see us going, James, in the next 5 years?
Well, you know, basically what I see is the earth kicking back really hard. Mm-hmm. And one of the problems that we have now is that we have an event going on where we are moving in to alignment with galactic plane or galactic core. We've got about 500 energy bursts hitting the planet where there used to be about 50 an hour. It's gone up to 500. And these are what the scientists are measuring, you know, the fields are down, the cosmic energies are just flooding into the planet, and that affects the bioelectric fields around the body and people's consciousness. So we are just like on this ride where the earth is expanding, healing, moving, and shaking and rocking and rolling and doing her thing. And then people are waking up too. And then there's another group there that's doing all they can to stop the process, which is totally futile.
Right. That's the way I see it. I see there was a time we were in a different place in the universe, in the galaxy, in the cosmos, and the energy that we were receiving at the time was supportive of this dark, negative, selfish energy that we've seen manifested here on Earth. Now, the energy that's coming in 50 times faster, as you say, is not supportive of this lower vibration energy. and one has to yield to the other. They cannot both coexist in the same place. And I'm seeing the lower energies yielding and subsiding and fading away. Just like you said, I'm seeing them dying out. They're a dying breed. And I'm seeing even the younger people that's coming in, they can't be controlled. They're not tied to a job. They have their own ideas, and they want to go about those ideas. They're not so easily enslaved and controlled because they have these other ideas coming in. So like you, I see the earth doing a lot. It's like giving birth. She's going through labor pain. She's bleeding. She's hurting. Her water's breaking. And she's doing all this magnificent stuff. But at the same time, if you don't understand it, you're saying, oh, my God, all these people are dying. There's so much blood. But again, I believe it's a part of the process. It's what we're going through to give birth to something much greater.
Oh, I agree. I know we're all eternal, and having my own near-death experiences and things of that nature, I'm positive of that. And we all choose or make contracts or whatever to come in for specific reasons. And I'm just saying some people are not going to wake up. They didn't choose to wake up.
Right.
on this round, you know, they're just going to keep going and ride the beast down to its inevitable demise until it just totally implodes in on itself. And it seems like we're out there trying to shake them and wake them and get them to snap out of it and take a look at who they're serving and who they're working for and maybe better ways of doing things.
I agree. James, I feel Mother Earth is doing some things, but I also feel some of the so-called natural disasters are man-made. I feel they're orchestrated by the weapons of destruction that we have here as well. I don't have any proof of that, but it's a feeling that I have that not all the earthquakes that we're seeing are generated by Mother Earth, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go to Lauren Moffitt, and she's a scientist that's been blowing the lid off this whole thing. And, you know, all the signatures for the Japan quake and everything else, the HAARP signatures are there, definitely.
The HAARP, and, all over, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and same thing with Haiti and several other places. And those same signatures are now pushing on the California. On the fault, yeah, on the San Andreas, and they're also pushing on the New Madrid, and you can see these huge radar signals or radar rings there. Mm-hmm. And my own personal opinion, I think between whatever they're doing in Alaska, and then they have space-based weapons as well, that these are playing a part in all this, and this is why you're seeing a lot of bird die-offs and fish die-offs, and even over in Vietnam, they had something like 1 million cattle just drop dead, so... I don't think that's nature so much doing her thing. I think it's some other guys playing with certain biologicals or technologies that are, you know, basically earthquake technology.
I agree with you totally. Definitely agree.
But the science is there, and the scientists are speaking out now, and they're getting the signatures of that area, and one of the guys who's been really blowing the whistle on this is Alfred Weber with Exopolitics. He's got all that information on his site. So if you go to exopolitics.com, you can see he's bringing forward the data and the scientists, and what Benjamin Fulford, too, is actually getting a lot of this data and putting it together as well and putting it out there for people to see.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, you know, through these times that we're going through, I know these energies that are coming in are so demanding. They're demanding that we really go within and heal, you know, any old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions and stop the separation game. Do you have any advice for people that are in the middle of this process?
Well, we're all going through it, and a lot of times we've been so accustomed to looking outside of ourselves. But you just said the answer right there. We have to go within. If we don't go within, we will go without. So now is the time. As things speed up, it's the time to slow down. Now is not the time to do. You're not a human doing. You're a human being. Now is the time to sit down, relax, and be. Take your shoes off and walk in the earth. Sit down, meditate, go by the beach. Get out in nature, hug a tree. Because as you become quiet, the energies that come in, and the voices, they begin to speak a little louder and a little clearer. And as you trust them, you will be led to the relationships that you need to heal. You'll be led to the person that you need to call. All the stuff is being worked out, but we have to trust. And a lot of times we're so caught up with, oh, let me call this person because they know better. I need to find a psychologist. So it's not about going outside of yourself anymore. It's about going within. It's about being still. It's about being quiet. And if you could find the place within you to trust that, then everything will begin to unfold just as how our destiny right now is unfolding. So it's just like you said, James, it's about being quiet, trusting that little voice, and finding the time to be still. There's another thing that we can do, and I've done this a lot, is what I call a silent fast. Just for the weekend, talk to no one. Do not answer your phone. Don't turn on the television. Do not turn on the radio. Just be silent. Do a silent fast like you're taking a regular food fast. And that will clear your energy field. It will clear your mind. You'll begin to become crystal in what you're here to do and how to go about doing it.
Yeah, we have a thing we do here sometimes. We do a dark retreat. And there's a joke about dark retreats is if you do it right, it's not really dark.
Right.
But you sit, you know, totally sensory deprivation in a place, and you're blindfolded and everything, and you know, you drink nothing but apple juice, and you can eat some apples or whatever, and you're doing a cleanse at the same time, and it's a 3-day system. And when you come out of there, your third eye opens up. You start seeing all kinds of visions. Your communication with the higher levels opens wide open. And I have friends that do 21-day ones at a time. And
really?
And I'm not recommending this. These guys have been doing their homework for years, and they've been been doing retreats and fasting for a long time. But you know, sometimes they'll take 21 days and go without anything, maybe a little bit of water, and that's it. And sit through it.
So if it's 3 days, they're blindfolded for 3 days?
Oh, yeah. You're totally blindfolded in a dark room, no sound, nothing external at all.
And, right, wow.
And you have no choice. Everything goes internal. And, you know, like Buddha said, the whole universe is within. Mm-hmm. And so as you start going in, you realize you're definitely not alone in the universe, and you've got, you know, all these celestial friends out there that love you far beyond most of the humans here on Earth.
James, I've never done that, but I'm going to do it. That sounds great. I'm definitely going to do that.
Yeah, it's quite a trip, you know, to go through that. We've done them a long time ago. We do a lot of sweat lodges here and things of that nature. We've been doing that for years, but we lost the last snow has just totally flattened our sweat lodge, so we have to get that one back up again.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, these are exciting times, and you know, what I love about your work is so encompassing. It takes in the whole universe, basically. It goes into, like, ultra-dimensionals, masters, UFOs, all of this. I'm curious about what your beliefs are about, you know, concerning ETs or UFOs or ascended masters and things of that nature.
Well, it would be arrogant to believe that we're here by ourselves. That would just extreme arrogance. I believe that energy cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed. So we've been here forever. I have memories of previous life. I came in this life in Jamaica with a fear of the cops. I have no reason to fear cops in Jamaica. But I came, and I remember as small as 4 years old, I would run away. I would see a police car coming around the corner, and I would run inside. But then I have memories of being murdered in a previous life by the cops. I know I love Dolores Cannon stuff. I've read a lot of her stuff, and I know I resonate with the information. UFOs, ETs, we've traveled the galaxy. We're doing this. We're on different vibration, higher dimensions. I believe. Let me even rephrase it, because I don't believe it, James. I know it. I know it within my soul that this is true. And to shut us off from this information and to have us believe that we're these isolated beings on this little planet, and when you die, that's it, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and if you haven't behaved correctly, you'll be burnt in a pit of fire forever. That's nonsense. It's just another way to manipulate and control. And I know that we came here to be so much more. And we're, as a matter of fact, another thing that I want to speak about, we're here for the experience, not for the labels of the experience. And that's another tool of manipulation, where we take everything and we put a label on it, and this is good and that. Spirit doesn't care about that. All spirit wants is the experience, because we learn and we grow from the experience. And I know that before we leave this planet, we will look to the sky and we will see our brothers, our sisters, our uncles, our aunts, our parents. We will see that before we leave here. I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, I definitely. It feels like it's right around the corner, and according to all the prophecies, especially all the Star Nation prophecies, they talk about that we go through this time of tribulation where the Earth goes through her healing crisis or process, and then they come in to assist us in this birthing process. And then they said after the process, there's 1,000 years of peace, and we start interfacing, you know, one-on-one with the greater family of man out there, and then they talk about things healing very quickly. The Earth heals very fast, and we start, the next round basically in peace. You know, there's no room for the tyrants on the next round.
I am looking forward to that, James. That idea is one of the things that keeps me going, because I'm looking forward to such a time. Because if you even think about it, the majority of the people on the planet, we don't want any war. We're not arguing or fighting with anyone. We don't have a beef or an argument with anyone in Israel, in Palestine, in Jerusalem, in Afghanistan. It's few people who are allegedly in charge, the puppet or the people behind the puppet, and they know, okay, if we go over here and we do this, we could raise a price of oil. If we do this, we could raise a price of cotton. If we do this, and it's a bunch of nonsense, and it's all coming to an end. The illusion, again, apocalypse means removing of the veil. So the people are saying, oh, we're getting ready for the apocalypse and Armageddon. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I'm ready for that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I've always seen a lot of times democracy is another form of the mega corporations, you know, moving in and taking over another person's resources. They use that word over and over and over. But if you actually go to these crunchers and really see what's going on, and now, you know, with here, I would have people come here from Iraq and Iran and all over the world and meet these people, and they're beautiful beings, and there's no problem. We get along great. And that's what I think needs to happen, is that, you know, people need to stop, you know, maybe turn off your TV and go check out these places. Don't listen to what the newscasters are telling you. Go see firsthand what's really going down, and you'll be shocked. It's usually a total reversal of what you're hearing.
I even have a problem with the very idea, the very notion of a passport. When the Great Spirit created this planet, he didn't run any fences and say, okay, you can't cross this border, you can't cross that border. So for me to go into another country, someone to come here and have to show a piece of paper to say, well, I'm worthy to be here, and I'm not going to stay here too long. I'll go back to my little corner before I cause it. I don't even believe in that. I should be able to go to China freely. I should be able to go to Moscow, wherever I want, just because it's there. It's my planet. It's not like this is, I'm only entitled to live in this little small area. I'm only entitled to explore this because this is where I was born. No. This is my planet, and it's your planet, and it's everyone else's planet. So some people came up with this idea, well, let's have this fence and these borders, and we'll charge people. It's all, that has to come down, man. It's full time for this nonsense to end. We got to condense the nonsense. It's coming down.
Well, it seems like this division game is definitely in place for a reason, because, you know, we want cheap labor. We want all these things to happen. We want the resources. You know, America wants to live the high life, and at the expense of a lot of others, unfortunately. And you have to have borders, and you have to have economies, and you have to have, third world countries and everything to continue in this process. And I agree with you 100%. I think borders are ridiculous. You know, this is one planet, you know, one people. And, you know, basically we have one creator, whatever you want to name, you want to give it. But, you know, at the same time, I think it's really time for people to get beyond the culture and the religions, you know, transcend cultural and religious divisions and get beyond that and see ourselves as a spirit or a soul, mm-hmm. you know, that entered a body for an experience. And I think the different cultures and the varieties are awesome, but maybe if we start identifying more as a spirit, as an eternal spirit, having an experience, of a different variety down here, it might start bringing everybody together again.
I agree, and I can see that happening. I mean, based on, again, going back to what you said earlier, the energy that's coming in the consciousness is 50 times faster, far more rapid. I'm reading stuff about a ninth wave energy that's coming in as well. So believe it's only a matter of time before we realize that we're a part of everything. And again, going back to that poem, what I said in the poem, I said, you're a part of everything and everything is a part of you. So there's no race, no religion, no politics, no sexual preference that should ever divide you. You are one. And the minute you participate in judgment, you hit the pavement with your enslavement, because that very judgment enslaves you and it just traps you being here and being in this density. So with the energy that's coming in and people being sick and tired, they've been squeezed so there's nothing more to squeeze out of them. And they're still in fear. They're still fearing, oh, my God, if the government might shut down. It would be great if the government shut down. We need to get rid of this system completely. So this fear and all these energies that's going in is being bombarded with a higher consciousness. And sooner or later, people are just going to have no choice but to let go and go with the flow of the river.
Now, somebody asked me about that. They said, aren't you concerned about the government shutting down over there? And I said, why? It just means the end of lies, deception, and war.
Right. I have no problems with the government shutting down forever.
Yeah. It's really not necessary, although they want us to think they're necessary. But, I've just seen more and more of creating problems where none exist and trying to make, that old problem reaction solution program going on and them just cashing in big time on it. And, Now, with what the banksters pulled on that one, and now so many people are losing their homes and going out on the streets. A lot of those people that were like kind of redneck, bigots or whatever, are now in the same roles that they've judged others as. And it's a good thing in a way because now they're going, well, wait a second, the people that I looked down on before, I just became one. And it's bringing people together and starting to unify. And that's what I see. Eventually, everybody's just going to unify and just say, enough is enough, And it had to be made personal for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So, again, I don't believe in accidents. I believe everything is happening for a higher and divine reason. And going back to the analogy of a woman giving birth, are you looking at a woman? Of course, yes, she's messy, she's bloody, her hair is all over the place, she's sweating. But once you go through the labor pain, which is what we're going through now, and we come out on the other side, we realize, oh my God, this was such a beautiful experience. This was well worth it, because I definitely know we're going to come out on a better side. People are waking up, and people are becoming more compassionate, more loving. Yes, the news is showing you the divide. They're showing you the extremes between the polarities. But that's not indicative of what's going on the planet. That's not indicative of what's going on in the different communities and the more love. They're not showing you those stories of compassion, of empathy, of love. They're not putting that because they're trying to feed the machine. There's a certain group of entity and beings out there, just like we feed on food and we might eat meat or vegetables. There's a certain entity group that's here on this planet, and they feed on the emotions of fear. They feed on the lower vibration. That's why they have to pump it so much into the atmosphere, because that's how they feed. The more turbulent times are, the more healthy their appetite becomes. So we have to make sure we're not feeding the people who are here to basically enslave us.
Yeah, there's so many different levels of that. I love what one teacher said, an awakened God is very hard to handle. And so when you awaken the God within people, and they start realizing their divine rights, to self-determination and freedom and all these other things that come with that, it becomes a real problem on the planet. And I see that's why, all of the you know, a lot of the major saints, sages, and prophets, you know, all seem to end up, you know, pushing up daisies, unfortunately. But, you know, they're a threat to the machine. But now I see basically this machine is its own threat. It's a good friend of mine. I love what he said. He said, the dragon's too fat to fly. And
yeah, he's, that is true.
It's gorged itself so much now that it doesn't have anything left to feed it, basically. And it's just a matter of time where it implodes. And that's the same thing as the Lakota prophecy is they talk about the beast, you know, is 2,000 miles wide. That's how long it lives. And just when you think there's no more hope, the beast, you know, implodes on itself and dies. Mm-hmm. And then peace breaks out. And we seem to be in that process of the implosion of the beast.
We're seeing that. Everywhere we look, we're seeing that. So that's, again, one of the reasons why I'm so hopeful. Plus, just like I know that it's only a matter of time before we begin to see our brothers and sisters and our families from all the planets, all the galaxies, all the stations. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing here to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. And if you get back to, when I say you, I'm talking to everyone who's listening, get back to remembering just who you are, why you came here, and remembering that your being here is not an accident. You did not spend 9 months in the womb to come out to be a slave, to be fearful, to be worried about job security. That's not what you came here for. You came here to love and to love unconditionally. You came here to learn and to have these experiences. And as long as we stop believing that, well, we're here to pay the mortgage and we're here to pay the car note and we're here to do this, then we'll become free. But we need to do this together. Then I know we're waking up to that idea. I can feel it.
Yeah, it's definitely does feel like it's going in that direction. And there is, you know, a mass awakening, and the frequencies of tyranny are not going to be around much longer. You know, somebody told me once they were really afraid of ETs coming here and being demonic and doing the work of the devil and totally enslaving us and destroying the planet and the environment. And I asked them, I said, have you looked around lately? And they said, what do you mean? I said, are you free? Have you looked at what's happening to the planet right now? And I said, and you're afraid of some off-world visitor coming here? I said, pay attention to what's happening right now. I said, we can't really go anywhere but up, you know, basically, if you look at the present condition of our leadership and our environment and you know, like we were talking about the Gulf oil and the nuclear reactor meltdowns and all the other chemicals that are in the water and the air and everything else. I said, where else can we go but up right now?
Mm-hmm. But that's part of the programming that was handed to us. If it's unknown, you should fear it. And if you fear it, you should kill it. That's the programming. We fear what we don't know, what we don't understand. But mm-hmm. because we don't understand something doesn't make it incomprehensible. You know, if we take the time to get to, as a matter of fact, just knowing who we are, our consciousness and how consciousness works, there's nothing that you could desire to know that you won't know because you have the ability to know. You're already connected to everything. Again, you just have to unplug and be quiet. Go maybe to one of these dark retreats. Because I'm definitely going to try that. But again, you're going within and you will know the things that you're looking to know. You'll understand the things that you're seeking to understand. And based on, I'm not just going to walk around in fear. Let's say, okay, worst case scenario, these ETs, extraterrestrial, came and they're off the devil, not really sure what the devil is, and they're here to enslave. It doesn't matter. This is still an experience that sooner or later we transcend all experience. No experience lasts forever. And if you look at it as just a lesson, whatever the lesson is, I'm here to learn, and I'm going to go through the experience and joy, and when I leave, I'll be someplace else and I have another experience. That's how I'm viewing it as I walk this path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely seems like the real enemy is not coming from some far off distant galaxy, but it's right here amongst us, and it's our own choices and actions and belief systems.
There's an African proverb that says, if there's no enemy within, the enemy outside can do us no harm.
Mm-hmm. One of the people wanted me to ask you this question about disclosure. And, you know, to me, disclosure is if these off-world visitors come, and we know they most likely they've transcended disease, they have fuelless energy technology, they're peaceful, because if they weren't, they probably would have destroyed themselves with their own technology. But they would go totally against the status quo that's in operation right now. And they're asking me about disclosure, and they said, what do you think about disclosure considering this process? Do we need to wait for some authority figure, you know, like these bot politicians and puppets? Do we need to really wait for them to tell us it's okay to believe in ETs?
Absolutely not. We don't need to wait. However, most people at this point, I know this will change very soon, very rapidly, but most people at this point still need to hear it from their government in order to believe it. You still have people, James, you talk to them, you tell them something, and they say, oh, that's not true, because if that were true, it would be on the news. No, that's exactly why it's not on the news, because it is true. So we still have a lot of people who are waiting, but at the same time, if you look at what's going on with ET, with crop circles, all these unexplainable stuff, we're beginning to see more and more of it, and more beginning to show up on mainstream media. So maybe to a certain degree, they're preparing the planet for the upcoming disclosure. They're preparing the planet, the minds that, you know, well, maybe, because now you have Dr. Kaku running around in television, seems like he's a spokesperson for the powers that used to be. But he's running around saying, oh, well, now we have these live, we're going to see these alien live within 100 years. We will definitely make contact. And the people are definitely being prepared for it. But we don't need to wait for anyone. All we have to do is keep doing what we've been doing, and that is speaking our truth, speaking without fear and without reservation. And it's okay to be called a quack. It is okay to be called a cuckoo. And that's fine, but as long as you're walking in integrity and speaking your truth, sooner or later, everything will manifest. And people say, you know what, that James dude, he wasn't so quack after all.
Yeah, that's already kind of happening, unfortunately. But we actually had Fox News come out here twice, and we've had ABC News. A lot of the news people have come out here. And they came out to do kind of a spoof on it. And then the ship showed up, and they got them on film, and they actually did a very positive review. Even Hannity actually covered it, which is amazing. They come out here. We had BBC, Danny Dyer came out, Paranormal State came out. And in each case, the ships did appear. They came in, and they couldn't deny it. You know, it was in their face and on their cameras, so, you know, with multiple witnesses there at the time. So it's coming out. I mean, they are covering it. One of the people with, I think it was ABC, told me that their ratings went through the roof when they did that article, and their advertisers loved it, because when they have really high numbers, that they can actually charge more for their advertising. So they were asking me, can we do another one? Can we do it? You know, they want to do, you know, it's all about the buck, you know, unfortunately. Money, it goes back to that. But it is getting information out.
But again, it's just like you, James, the same thing I do. In my poetry, like the stuff that you've seen, every video that I've made, the past four or five videos, I keep speaking more and more on extraterrestrials and extraterrestrials showing. I'm putting the idea out there. And people know, well, wait a minute, this guy, he goes around, he speaks all over the world. He speaks to college students mainly. So, well, let me take a look at it again, because he's now talking about it. And that's just me. I'm going to speak my truth, and you to take it. I'm not asking you to believe anything that I'm saying. I'm just telling you this is my truth, and I'm presenting it. Just like in the poem, I'm saying I've been here before. You know, you exploded the atomic bomb, and a call went out, and I understood the call. So to some, it might be far-fetched, but people are beginning to wake up to the idea, and the idea is begin to resonate with them. Because deep down within, if we just remove the programming that we've taken in, we know these things that we're speaking of, they're true. You tell a child, a toddler, and they won't be amazed because they're still in touch with that God energy within them. You'll never see a two-year-old in a sandbox saying, you can't come in this box because I'm Palestinian and you're Jewish. That's some nonsense we made up as adults, and we put onto the kids. But kids just want to love, give love, and receive love, and that's pretty much all we want to do once we get back to the basic nature of who we are.
That's one of the things that the Palladians, when I hooked up with them and talking to them, I said, well, what? Why are you here? You know, can you explain to me why you're here at this time? And they said to release the past. And I said, can you be more specific on that? And they said, well, we hold on to the past. We hold on to all these grudges and fears and wounds and traumas from wrong conclusions and past experiences. And some of them are collective. There's whole nations holding on to these things, and they're psychometrized into the land as well. So they're using frequencies and energetics and consciousness to help us release a path so we can make clear decisions on our future without, you know, the past coming in and doing the same thing over and over again. And I thought that was amazing when they talked about that, is it fits right into that where you know, the kids have to be taught, you know, the fear and the againstness and everything else. They don't have any problems. And it's the old grudges,
Absolutely.
You know, that are still running, that are creating the problems.
Yeah, they're pure. They're coming pure, and we came up with all these ideas. We make up, like George Carlin, one of my favorite comedians, he said we made all this stuff up. Where did we come up? We came up with the sanctity of life and the death penalty. Aren't we clever? We made all this stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah, total polarities there. It just seems everything right now is getting beyond ridiculous. I mean, it's, you just look at it and you go, if people aren't seeing it by now, you know, you know, I don't want to say no hope, but
there's a good probability they won't be seeing it in this lifetime.
Yeah, they aren't going to be seeing it in the future. And as you were saying, that people need to get in touch with the earth and start listening to the earth and see what's really going on, because, you know, she did give us these vehicles and these bodies, and we need to be a little more grateful and start giving back to her and taking care of that.
James, you're such a blessing. You're doing wonderful, wonderful work. Wonderful work. I appreciate
you. Oh, you too. Yeah, I love the work that you're doing out there. You know, unfortunately, we're out of time. So before we sign off, I wanted to give, what's the best way for people to get a hold of your books and any of your DVDs or anything else you have to offer?
My website, which is my name, KurtNugent.com. You'll find everything there. If you want to see all the videos that we've been talking about, just go to YouTube.com/KurtNugent. Just type my name in Google, and you'll find everything. Kirk, like Captain Kirk, Nugent, like Ted Nugent. No relations.
Mm-hmm. Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's been great, and I know we could go on for a couple more hours if we needed to, but unfortunately, I only have an hour.
Indeed, James. I appreciate you. I'm so grateful to be a guest here, and I've been following your work for years. So really glad for the connection, really humbled and honored by it. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, you have to come out and see him for yourself here. That's what I tell people. Don't take my word for it. Check it out yourself.
That is my absolute intention. Sometime this year, that is my intention. I intend to get to Sedona. I intend to get to your ranch as well.
Great. All right. Well, we'll see you here.
Indeed. Take care, James.
All right, we're out of time, folks. It's James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and pay attention, speak up, stand up, do whatever you need to do, but let's turn this planet around.